Stalking the July jobs report, due out this morning. From APM in New York, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. This morning, markets, Fed watchers, and even job hunters are closely watching the Labor Department's big monthly employment report for July. So far, it's been a slow summer on the jobs front, and economists' hopes are pretty low for this morning's numbers. So is the jobs recovery sputtering out? Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Since midwinter, job growth has slowed way down, from around 290,000 jobs a month on average to just 210,000. Analyst Bernie Baumol says the economy's just not growing fast enough, so
a lot of businesses are still apprehensive about ramping up hiring.
Slow growth overseas isn't helping. Plus, Baumol says there's been a paradigm shift in the employment relationship.
Companies have changed the whole calculus that goes into deciding how many people to hire, when to hire.
The new equation, fewer and later. Companies get by with temps and foreign contractors and super smart robots instead. Wage growth has also stalled, says Michael Strain at the American Enterprise Institute.
Firms don't feel like they need to bid up wages in order to attract and retain employees.
Because, Strain says, there are still millions of people waiting on the sidelines of the job market, ready to jump in. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The jobs report could also give a hint about whether the U.S. Federal Reserve will in fact raise interest rates in September. That's the expectation, but the picture got fuzzier yesterday when the Bank of England announced it would hold off on rate hikes until sometime in 2016. We spoke to the BBC's Jonty Bloom about this. Jonty, I think there had been many assumptions that those rates might be tied to the U.S. Federal Reserve rate, but apparently that's not the case.
No, it's not really tied to it, although the expectation is they wouldn't really move until the Federal Reserve has moved. And as we heard yesterday from the Bank of England, they're probably not going to move even then. The principal reason for that is inflation is at zero here. It's expected to actually become deflation in coming months as commodity prices fall. There really is no pressure on inflation. Very little reason to put up interest rates.
How similar are these two banks? Is it a mistake to tie their actions together?
No, not really. They're very similar. And in fact, last year, the Bank of England kind of committed itself to tying interest rates to unemployment in quite a similar way to what's going on in America at the moment. And they basically said, we don't think we need to increase interest rates or even think about increasing interest rates until unemployment falls to 7%, which they thought would take years and years. And it was supposed to be a nice way of telling everyone interest rates aren't going to move anywhere soon. And then the British economy took off and unemployment fell below 7% very quickly. It's now about 5.5%. And so the Bank of England had to turn around and say, well, when we said we were tying it to unemployment, we didn't really mean that because they had no intention of moving it now. The economy is doing perfectly well with low interest rates and probably will for quite some months to come.
Great. Jonty Bloom is a business correspondent with the BBC. Thanks so much, Jonty.
A pleasure, Molly. Anytime.
And now let's do the numbers. And they are down. The FT 100 in London is flat to down, while Germany's DAX is down about a third of a percentage point. The CAC 40 in Paris is down about a third as well. Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ futures are all down slightly, just over a tenth of a percent for each. Up at the top of the world, the high north, Russia has just staked a big claim to a chunk of the Arctic. A big reason for that is that there's oil there. Several countries and companies are betting on uncovering that mother lode, and first out of the gate is Royal Dutch Shell. It's 1 week into exploratory drilling, but this is a project with both great risk and great opportunity. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
In oil company speak, the Arctic is one of the last elephant fields. Some 20% of the world's untapped oil and gas is there. Stephen Kopitz at Princeton Energy Advisors says for big companies like Shell, their stock price depends on proving the energy is there.
10 years ago, Shell in particular felt that it was going to be very hard to find oil. And so they looked around the world to see where they could go. And one of the very few places you could add oil in big quantities was in Alaska.
Specifically, the Alaskan Arctic. A Shell oil rig right now is just starting to explore there. If it strikes oil, it may take a decade for it to flow, which is good timing, Kopitz says, because by then, U.S. oil from shale may be fracked out.
The U.S. shale revolution is slated to last probably through 2020, maybe through 2025, but it doesn't last forever.
For all the challenges, the drilling is the easy part. It's low pressure in shallow water. What's hard is the logistics, hauling some 20 vessels to waters far from the Coast Guard, from hospitals, from help. In one attempt 2.5 years ago, a Shell rig named the Culloch separated from its towboat. Mackenzie Funk is author of The Wreck of the Culloch.
The cable snapped and this giant rig drifted until it slammed into the rocks near Kodiak Island. And it was just a total loss.
Even before that, Shell had to contend with nature.
Suddenly an ice floe the size of Manhattan came drifting. They had to pull up everything and basically run away. Having been up there a few times and studied this, that's what I think people don't understand is how entirely remote this is.
These problems concern environmental critics, who also say there's no good fix for an oil spill. Regulators are also watching, as are other drillers with eyes on the Arctic prize. Business professor Bill Arnold at Rice used to work for Shell.
This year just about has to be error-free in order to get to next year and then years of development following that.
If not, $7 billion may be lost. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
One last note before we go. Sunday will mark 1 year since the killing of Michael Brown by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. In the aftermath of that shooting, the city's economy took a hit that still shows. Businesses have vanished, some after lootings and vandalizing. Overtime pay for the police and other costs have increased, and the city faces a $3.2 million deficit, up from just $1 million 2 years ago. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.